I remember Christmas, it seemed like yesterday.
Christmas and happy holidays, and welcome to a special holiday theme download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you today. What a great honor it is to be on 720 WGN radio during the holidays, because it means so much, not just because we broadcast here on Michigan Avenue with all the sights and the sounds and the smells of the holidays and the big Christmas trees behind us, but also the fact that we can broadcast and be in your living rooms at this holiday time. It's a pleasure and it's an honor, and I'm thrilled to be here for just an hour. I'd be thrilled if it were 6 hours, and let you know, I would do a marathon session for you, the 720 WGN listener. Pete Zimmerman joins me as well. Good to see you, Pete. And we're very happy to have Pete, because Pete is the WGN unofficial, or should we just say it's official?
Yeah, it's official.
It's official sort of Christmas spirit guide.
Although I think Stephanie Menendez,
she does Christmas hard.
Yeah, she does Christmas hard.
It really does. You check out her Instagram feed, and it is Christmas. It's been Christmas since October.
Yes, it has.
It really has. But you, this is your favorite holiday. It's safe to say that this by far is the one that activates you as a holiday goer.
I look forward to it really right around Halloween. After Halloween, I get into it, and I immediately go into a fetal position on the 25th at night and thinking that it's over and then it's not going to be around for another year.
You don't show any optimism? There's no...
No, I'm like, I can't believe it's all over now. We have to wait another 11 months.
Well, I mean, are you the kind of guy that... I mean, I would say I'm tepid on Christmas. I love it. I love the holidays. I love the feelings around it, but I don't know if I would be obsessed about it. Are you the kind of guy that says that it's okay for Christmas to start in mid-November, or are you the kind of guy that's a traditionalist that says after Thanksgiving, then the holiday actually starts?
I'm fine with the Macy's and stuff putting out decorations and stuff a little earlier every year, but for holiday music, you know, that kind of, for me, doesn't really get going until after Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, both the radio stations and Macy's, they seem to be creeping. I mean, they are creepers. I mean, we saw 2 weeks before Thanksgiving they're putting stuff out. And Macy's put out their windows like November 10th. That's ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to – I obviously want to be positive and optimistic. It is Christmas. It's a holiday season. You know, we're going to get into – I'll get into chestnuts roasting on an open – but if I digress really quick, that's just too early. Sorry, but I mean, there should be some sort of reveal or some sort of grand opening where right after Thanksgiving, the parade is over on State Street and they're like, they pull the lever and the cool windows on Macy's come out. But this idea that they just kind of unceremoniously do it on November 12th, like on a Tuesday. Oh, hey, the windows are up. It kind of ruins it for me.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, because it's Halloween is after Halloween, boom, you're into the Christmas season. November 1st. This year, baseball was still going on.
We had an election.
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
thinking about Christmas on Tuesday, November 8th or whatever it was.
But in most cases, I like the fact that, you know, it's dark early, and then, you know, now Michigan Avenue is all lit up, you know, which is beautiful. And it's just like when you're here at night like we are, it's just nice that there's actual light out. It makes it kind of gives you a little spring in your step,
yeah,
as opposed to when they go off in January. Or it's in February and you see the bus go by with the Christmas Carol thing on the side of it, like, oh man, that was Yeah. Oh, months ago.
You get into those doldrums, those dark days of mid-January.
So you just got to, you know, take this December for what it's worth and just enjoy the spectacle.
Well, Pete, I mean, for people listening now, they probably have already gone through their traditions leading up to the Christmas holiday, but they still have a week left because really Christmas season doesn't really end until New Year's Eve, right? New Year's Eve becomes the next holiday. Once you get to New Year's Day, Christmas is officially done. That's usually you'll start seeing people taking down Christmas decorations and other holiday decorations by New Year's or the corresponding weekend from that. But I'm interested for you. People have a week. They're listening to this. What are must-see Christmas extravaganza, Christmas events, Christmas things in the Chicago area?
The main things that I think people need to do, you probably might not be able to do them until next year, but you need to go to the Chris Kindle Market right here in Daly Plaza.
That'll still be up till New Year's Day, I think.
It is?
I don't know. I'm not sure when they close.
I
just assume they keep that up till March. I'm not going to lie to you.
They should. It's delightful. Although I'm a little bit upset because a couple of years ago, they moved the big Christmas tree to Millennium Park, which I was like, why not get two trees?
Right. Two trees.
Go to some house in the suburbs, chop it down like they always do. You get the press release that, you know, the Higgins family from, you know, Oak Park is donating their tree.
I thought Mayor Emanuel was a business guy. He could negotiate.
Yeah.
He couldn't get a two-for-one. That's what we needed.
Chris Kindle Market's great. The little shop there with, you know, all you can buy your ornaments. You can go to a little place and get your little boot. The mulled wine, it comes in the boot. Or actually, this year it did not come in the boot.
And
there was an uproar. You know, people were upset because some years it's a boot, other years it's just a little mug.
It was funny because my wife was like, "Well, we need to take the family down to Chris Kindle Market." And I'm like, "Do we?" Because I feel like my experiences with Chris Kindle Market is hot wine and beer and getting drunk at 6 o'clock after you worked on a Tuesday. Like, I feel like that's Chris Kindle Market.
Right. Merry Christmas.
There's not a lot of kids' things to do at Chris Kindle Market except for kind of tchotchkes. But the point being that I feel like I kind of push back a little bit because I'm like, I don't know if he needs a weird German Stein, and I don't think he needs two pieces of bratwurst for $6.
I'm 100% with you because we were there a few weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, no, we were there a few weeks ago, and we're adults, and we want to sit, and we want to have a cocktail and just, like, chit-chat and whatever, walk around. And there was kids around. They were bugging us.
They were bugging me.
And then, later that night, I saw somebody on Facebook complaining that, like, hey, we were at Chris Kindle Market, and I heard a couple next to us saying, you know, like, complaining about kids. And I don't think it was us. But anyway. And he's like,
you were an overheard item.
And then it was like, what do you mean? The Chris Kindle Market's all about kids. I'm like, no, it's a bar.
It's a bar. And it's a bar with a couple of, like, chintzy chops.
Like your son is going to be interested in buying Christmas ornaments?
Yeah, right. It's Christmas ornaments and hot wine.
That's
what they should call that. Chris Kindle Market is deceiving. It should be hot wine, ornaments, hot wine.
That being said, I still think it is a must go for adults. You definitely should go to that.
Okay. Right,
and also a thing that I think you should always do: make your plans for next year. Tickets for this event usually go on sale right around middle of November. Is the Music Box double feature of White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life.
Really?
It's a sing-along, White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life. And that may confuse you. You're like, oh, but there's not a lot of singing and It's a Wonderful Life.
Are there any songs?
But no, but what it is it's a double feature. Music Box, a wonderful theater, you know, that up on the north side. And although uncomfortable chairs, so think if you're going to get tickets.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful theater, and you can see all the sort of ornate architecture. And then you sit down, and you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Doesn't go all the way back. Kind
of. Right. If you're used to, like, the creature comforts of the new theaters, and you buy the double feature ticket, be prepared for being uncomfortable for the second movie.
Poking me in the butt. I love it. It's so authentic.
Yeah. It is a great theater. So then you go, you buy your tickets, you go to White Christmas, boom, and then in the middle, they have the organ playing, and then they do a sing-along on the screen with a Santa comes out, and they pass candy around. That's a great thing for kids, too. So
Do you find yourself doing things that are more collaborative or community in nature, like where you're actually getting together with other people, almost like caroling, but events that there's going to be almost sharing in the joy of Christmas? Because I feel like that's both of those, Kindle Market and what you just did, the White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life sing-along. It's about a bunch of people coming together.
Yeah, it's about a community enjoying it. Yeah.
Were you a caroler as a kid?
You know, me and my friend Mike Boyle, went caroling one year. We're not singers by any stretch of the imagination. We were just looking for a couple of bucks, you know. Yeah. Mike Boyle was always kind of like the business guy. He always came up with like ideas. You
guys had a bucket. You guys were playing the drums. Making some money on the side.
We would like go, like after football practice on Halloween, we'd go, hey, let's. He'd go, let's go hit a couple of houses with our helmets. You know, he'd always have something. Yeah, so
he's got something.
He's always had. So he was the guy that would. He convinced me to go caroling. He's like, hey, we make a couple bucks. I don't think I've had the door slammed on me that many times.
They sniffed you out right away. They're like, oh, Carol, these guys are not serious. Whack.
I don't know. It's like you know, the holidays, people have lights. When we went to people's houses that had lights, that's a telltale. You know, you don't go to the people that, you know, the shades are drawn or whatever.
Right.
And it's not like it was late. It was like 7 or 7:30.
Right.
And
just the
two
of you?
Yeah, just the two of us.
Well, automatically, that doesn't pass the smell test. If I opened the door and there were two of you, two hoodlums, going, God bless you, Mary, gentlemen, I'd be like, nah, there's some scam. I just don't know what it is. Smack.
Yeah, and we didn't have candles, or we weren't dressed in Dickensian outfits or anything. We were just like in our outfits. So that lasted maybe 12 houses, and then
that was it.
That was the end of my caroling career.
My parents growing up were very into Christmas in the way that they would not only do all the goofy kind of things where, like, we go downstairs and have like a Santa's workshop, and we would, you know, make little ornaments and things that we would give out to different family members. It was almost always a disaster. It was just like, that's not the shape of a gingerbread man, Mom. That's not how it works. I don't know what that is, but it would just like kind of curl, you know. And I think I still have one of those where I'm like, every time I pull it out of the box for the Christmas tree, the fam is like, oh, what is that? I'm like, no, it means something. This was Santa's
special
workshop year, 1988. And the other is they threw a big, they don't do it anymore, but they threw a big Christmas party, and it was a sing-along Christmas party. So all these musicians would show up with their guitars and kazoos and all sorts of stuff, and they would sing they'd hand out, you know, caroling books, and they would say, all right, everybody in C, are we in C? Like a straight out of
Pitch Pipe.
It was straight out of A Mighty Wind. It was like, all right, are we all ready?
Oh, man.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells. And everyone would sing along, and it'd be like, it was almost like a mix between the John Lennon.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have.
Cats screeching. It was that sound. The acoustics were right, but the actual execution was not. But that was what they do every year. So we would have these ability to, like, the Friday before Christmas, there would be this huge, and it got real big. After a while, it would be like 100, 150 people, cars all up and down the street to come to the Kaufman Christmas party.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What happened? They just, like, they moved?
They stopped doing it because it just got,
out of hand.
It was just so big. Like, by the time they wrapped it up, they were just like, all right, it's a huge endeavor, the food and everything that goes into it. And, you know, there would be the one or two guys who would take it really seriously, like show up with their nice guitar, you know, and some songs they had learned from their trip from Africa, you know. This is a native song. Ooh, you know. Or like my favorite was the guys who would do the original compositions. This is a song we just wrote. Here it is. It's about shoveling the driveway. Are we ready? And a two, and a three, and shoveling. Like, that was always fun to watch. And like, I don't know what we're singing along to, but awesome. And one year I got I was for school. I had to recite this was a grade school, like the Martin Luther King speech, I Have a Dream. And I was then pressured by my mom to read it in front of everybody. as part of the Christmas celebration. I nailed it, you know. Maybe not with the boisterous the you know, Martin Luther King sort of pizzazz.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was more like, I have a dream.
That is
from mountaintop to mountaintop. I have a dream, and it is a Sunday. It's all free at last. Almighty, we are free at last. All right, is he done? Great. Can we tune? I'd learn this one when I was in the mountains of Ethiopia. Boo. And that was our Christmas party. So we always had fun to that.
At the sing-along for It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, that music box in between when they do the songs, it's all, you know, Jingle Bells, Rudolph, things people know. And you can sing along. And then at some point, the guy's like, well, here's an original composition. Every year he does the original composition.
Here's an original.
And you're like, yeah, you know, I know you're trying to make this
thanks.
A thing.
We don't need to stay with the classics.
Now listen, my children, and you shall hear a story fantastic, a story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Now Hard Rock's the driver up there by his sleigh. Coco reads maps and he shows him the way. Though old Santa really has no need for Joe, but takes him cause he loves him so. Oh, lady, aye, Donner and Blitzen, away, away. Oh, lady, I know.
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
And Santa is busy with his heavy pack. He trusts his drivers and never looks back. Oh, lady,
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
Now go to bed early on this Christmas Eve. I've no way of knowing just what you'll receive. But you'll hear their laughter, that much I do know. 'Twill be Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
The three little men only 2 feet high, singing to Santa way up in the sky, laughing and shouting as the sleigh bells ring. It's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Oh, old lady, I hate. Donner and Blitzen, away, away. Oh, lady, I hope.
He's Hard Rock.
He's Coco.
He's Joe.
And Santa is busy with his heavy pack.
The most successful songs of the Christmas sing-along were always the rounds, or when you would, each part of the room would get like a 12 Days of Christmas. You're the six, you're the pipers piping.
Mm-hmm.
But the one song everybody looked forward to was Born in Bethlehem, which is Children Go Where I Send Thee, I think it's called. Children go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee one by one, one for the Hebrew children. I forgot what it was, but born in Bethlehem. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. So then they could.
So then you do like around. It's like 12. Yeah. So five for the five that dress so fine.
Oh, yeah. Did that close the show?
That was the one and there were times, and I loved it, that it would be such a success, and then we'd do a bunch of others, and like an hour later, my mom's like, let's just do it again. Like, it was like such a hit that you would just do those songs over and over and over. And one time when I was doing a Schadenfreude show, I did that at the Gallery Cabaret. We did like a round, like a show of sing-alongs, and we did, and it worked. Everybody took their spot, and it's such a great thing. If you are planning this holiday season to do a holiday sing-along, Children Go Where I Send Thee, top notch.
Children go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee one by one, one for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem. Children go where I send thee, how shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send thee two by two, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem.
Pete Zimmerman, I'm Justin Kaufman. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, and we got to talk about what, with a week left here at the holiday season, what we should be watching. You know, we talk about the holiday classics, and every commercial that's on right now tells you it's a holiday classic when it's not really a classic. The box office says it's not a classic. Maybe in 5-10 years you can say it's a classic. But we'll talk. Pete Zimmerman will give us his choices for what we should be watching to get into the holiday spirit, or at least maintain the holiday spirit before New Year's. It's a special edition, the holiday edition of The Download. Stay with us.
It's Christmas time. I hear children sing and the bells and chimes as they song.
Welcome back to the holiday version of The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with Pete Zimmerman here on 720 WGN. I just remembered, children, go where I send thee, the rounds. I can't remember 10. 10 for the 10, talking about the children, go where I send thee. It was a song that we sang along to in the Christmas parties of my youth. And it would be like a 9 for the 9 that dressed so fine, 8 for the 8 that stood at the gate, 7 for the 7 that never got to heaven, 6 for the 6 that never got fixed, 5 for the 5 that dressed so fine, 4 for the 4 that stood at the door, 3 for Hebrew children, 2 for Paul and Silas, and 1 for the little bitty baby who was born in Bethlehem. Got it!
Oh,
yes!
Oh, yeah!
I knew it. It took me... I just spent 10 minutes trying to get that. It all came rushing back. So I am available for parties. If you're having like an after Christmas holiday party, I will come and do your sing-along. And I'll wear a really big bushy mustache. And I'll bring my guitar and I will lead it.
We had a Christmas party a few years ago because I like Christmas, and we just the Christmas is, the season's kind of short, and people are always having parties, so it's like you never want to have one because other people are having one. But like, I convinced my wife to have a party.
Really?
It was actually not a party. It was like a to show up during the day type of thing. Like, we'll open the house up at noon. Come whenever you can, because people are stuff. You know.
Yeah, but that's kind of awkward though. Because if I showed up at like 2 o'clock and no one else was there, and then you hang for an hour and you're like, well, I'm going to go. And then somebody else shows up at 3 o'clock, you're going to make like a 7 to 9.
I felt bad for the first person that showed up. Never forget who she was. And she knows who she was. But she, it's fine. But it is. It's like, I can understand why, like, your parents said, like, you know, this is too much. And this was hardly anything. But just, the amount of food. I think I was drinking Christmas beer until the summer.
It costs money. You know, I was thinking about it this year, all because I have a Target white Christmas tree. Last year, we'll get to the things you need to watch for Christmas, but I'll tell this story that last year, my wife was like, let's get a white Christmas tree. It matches the couch or something like that. And I was like, they're $215. Yeah. You know, we went from like 8 Targets in the city to find one because they were all out. It's a big rage last year. And I figured out in my head, I'm like, well, okay. You know, I would go to Gethsemane and buy a real tree at $70, $75. That's what it would come down to, which is ridiculous, especially when you think about, I know everyone out there listening right now is like, I could get one for $15. No, I get it. Trust me. I'm that guy on the lot being like, ugh, he's like, that's just so much money. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, so we're going to Gethsemane. So I see this investment, there's a return on this white tree investment. In 3 to 4 years. Right? In 4 years, you'll start to be like, now Christmas has become a bargain.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem I have is that we put up the white tree this year. You know, the bulbs, there was a lot of like working with the bulbs. Like, there was a little bit of shake, you know, like the fake needles. You know, there were a lot that kind of fell out. So I'm like, oh, she's got to. And then on top of it, that the white tree investment is sort of like a style investment. It could go out of style.
Last year,
everybody wanted one. This year, probably not as much. Next year, I'll be like, oh, if you have a white tree, that's terrible. I'm keeping that white tree for like 9 years, right?
Yeah,
in
the money tour.
So we were talking, I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to have a Christmas party. It'd be nice in here, you know? And I was like, no way. I'm not dropping cash to have, you know, guys like you come trousing through and, you know, because it's just too expensive after a while. I'm like, Christmas, there used to be a time I felt like maybe it was because it was the novelty of it and I was in my 20s. I felt like I was invited to 5-10 different Christmas parties. And now that I'm in my 40s, there's less of that.
Yeah.
Less. Yep. The more people are like, meh, you know, so.
We live in a little apartment, so we just have a fake tree, small fake tree, and I always think that.
Look at the tree.
It's not a Charlie Brown type thing. It's a working, functional Christmas tree. And I said, like, when we buy a house, you know, my goal in life is to have a house big enough where we can get a big, real Christmas tree. But then you think about it, it's like, it's expensive, and then, like, hauling that thing.
It's the worst. I have to say, I know. We've been, like, turning. This is the season. Well, I hope you're having a great Christmas holiday. Let me tell you what's wrong with this holiday. No, but I feel like this has been the last couple of weeks as we've talked about. I feel like the process to put the tree up and decorate the house. We did some stuff outside. We got, like, an inflatable snowman that pops up every day. When it was done, I had a sweat. Like, I was just like, oh, my gosh, that was just a ton of work. Like, to take the stuff from downstairs, to bring it up, to get everything on the tree, to get the tree right. I was sweating. And then I'm like, I actually remember saying this. It was a couple weeks ago. I was like, this whole experience, like, is the one outside of regular chore that, besides maybe the emissions test, that I dread all year long. And it's up to the point, I mean, one of the things about having the fake tree, which is nice, is that I don't have to do the strange thing after New Year's where you have to take the tree down, take it to some park in Chicago and just dump it where all the other ones have been dumped. And that's a huge, like, and all the needles are everywhere in the back of your car. Like, I feel like that whole experience is like one of the worst chores of the year that I dread looking forward to. All right, Merry Christmas. So anyway, I got to get about like 8 more years out of this white Christmas.
Yeah, you will.
Right?
I mean, it may go out of style, but it will be back in style.
And when it goes out of style, I'm keeping it up. I'm definitely the Ray Liotta.
Can you paint it?
Yeah, right.
You paint it like spray it green, whatever color is
when
the
Ray Liotta brings the white tree in. Karen, look what I've got! Like, don't spend any extra money. Karen, look at what I brought home.
Johnny. Don't be a moron with the money. Do what's right, you understand?
Yeah, of course.
Karen! Judy! Rose! Come here! I got the most expensive tree they had!
That's how I felt last year, going from Target to Target, and I was Ray Liotta from Goodfellas. So expensive! Look at this expensive tree, Karen!
That is a great Ray Liotta.
Is that considered a holiday movie? Goodfellas, there's a whole holiday theme to that.
I would consider that
really?
a light holiday. But Ray Liotta's he's a guest star on a very special Christmas episode of Just Shoot Me, where he plays a guy that is he just enamored with a little bit over the top
with Christmas.
With Christmas, yeah,
I
to
think
the
I
point
remember
of
that.
Creepiness, yeah.
Yeah. Can you get a Just Shoot Me on demand? Like, is there? Can you go to like Netflix and put
it? Believe
in
me, I look.
I look every year. Every month, they're like, let's get that Just Shoot Me. You know, it's funny because we've been on the download in the last month. We've been talking about holiday movies, and you and I were kind of going back and forth on the idea of whether or not Die Hard is considered a holiday classic. And it's funny because they're running a commercial now, and I don't know what it's for. I forgot, but at the end, I think it's an Xfinity commercial or something. At the end, the guy is like, oh, Die Hard's a classic holiday film. Didn't know. And I'm like, oh, I got to tell Pete that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year we went to, there's a theater up by the Vic. I can't remember what theater company that is, but they did a live recreation of Die Hard for Christmas. They're probably doing it this year. It probably is going through January.
It's a great idea.
But yeah, they do a...
Is it a tongue-in-cheek, like a comedy, or is it a real
No,
deal?
It's like a real reenactment.
Pop guns and stuff like that?
I mean, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun show.
It'd be interesting to see, like, what other holiday classics you could put on stage. I feel like they've done that a million, like, to every single movie, whether it be, you know, we saw last year the Christmas Story,
mm-hmm.
you know, was one that's always out there. Charlie Brown Christmas is on mm-hmm. stage, Rudolph. All sorts of adaptations from the actual television program to the stage. It'd be fun to see if, like, any of the Bad Santas or Office Christmas Party gets a theatrical, live stage adaptation.
Yeah. We'll see in a couple of years. I'm sure, you know, this is a time for people making money, their theaters making money. I think that anything they can find that'll bring people in will work.
Yeah, there's always, I remember when I was doing sketch comedy, we did a sketch that we took the Vince Guaraldi, Christmas Time is mm-hmm. Here, you know that song?
Christmas Time is Here.
Had an old projector, like a 35mm projector, and when you just play that thing without the film in there, it just created a white box. And so we were working in a black box theater, so what we would do is we would set that up perfectly, and then we'd have this, like, it would project it wide enough that it'd almost be a couple feet across, and then we'd play that music, and then you would enter into that white space and almost do jittery, like you were on the actual, that song is playing,
yeah.
And it becomes like it's 1960s, like we found these in the basement kind of film.
Oh man, that's cool.
It's a great, and it was fun. You could play the sketch out inside of it, like the mom and all the props and stuff. And that was one that it became, like, we did it at Christmas time because I think it was right around Christmas, and it stayed in our show because it was so popular, like all the way till the next Christmas. In July, I'd be like, Christmas time, and everyone's like, all right, that's what works. So it's like, so if you have a hit on your hands that you can play outside of the Christmas holiday, you're in.
We listen to the light a lot because we like Christmas music, but they play it's the same, you know, Michael Bublé. You know, he's just in it for the cash grab. You know, there's no reason for Michael Bublé to do a Christmas album.
Right.
And we just always hope, like, oh man, somebody's got to write a new classic.
Right.
Christmas, I think, like Mariah Carey's song, I think, is the last big
All I Want for Christmas.
Yeah, is You. That's the last big hit.
I've said this before, my favorite Christmas song is This Christmas. This Christmas.
By
whatever R&B artist of the day is doing.
Yeah, Donny Hathaway or somebody like that.
But it's like, I was just looking on Apple Music and when we were putting up the Christmas tree a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to play it, and I just found like every contemporary version of that song and just played it in order. Every Mary J. Blige, and then it went into Joe, and then it was like, you know, like Jodeci's got one. And it's like everyone's got one. So I was just like, oh, I'm just contemporary Christmas heaven.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better this Christmas, and as we
we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside's blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas.
That's exactly what the light is. It's everybody's got their version of a sleigh ride or whatever.
Our buddy, a Broadway star, Brian Darcy James, who's been on this program, and he also has done some bits for us before. He had a Christmas album. Like, he put out, like, a couple years ago, like, you know, sledding down the town, like, the Broadway
original
star.
Material?
Original, it's all original material. Oh. I forgot the name. I should have it in front of me, but yeah. I don't know if he's actively promoting it anymore, but it seemed like there is still a movement to create original Christmas songs in some form.
There's only one thing that I can use. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming tonight. All right. Ran down the stairs with a grin on my face, thinking I caught him up at the fireplace. Need a mono, a mono. Don't want to miss Kris Kringle's descent.
Maybe not for WGN, but I feel like it's time to take the light down. Somebody needs to come up and take them down next year, like have Me FM or whatever,
right.
Like
somebody
do Christmas,
do
and do a better job. I can program it for you.
I mean, I think a younger generation is just hitting a button on their phone and all the music you can program however you want. But you're right. I mean, I think that there seems to be a move for that. I feel like maybe a couple of years ago that happened where there were two Christmas stations in one season.
I feel like
Feeder wrote about that.
Yeah, I think he did, anyway. Actually. Yeah.
All right, so quickly, as we said this whole segment was going to be about what you should watch in the next week, and we've talked about everything but... No, I take that back. The Just Shoot Me episode, the holiday episode.
With Ray Liotta.
What is your recommendations this week? If you want to stay in the holiday spirit, but you know Christmas is over, but this is a big week. You still got family that's going to come in, the secondary sort of Christmas exchanges. Maybe you're off work. You have an opportunity to still soak in some holiday spirit. Pete Zimmerman, our official Christmas spirit guide, has some suggestions for you.
I think if you want to watch some TV, there's a lot of great Christmas episodes, and I think some of my favorites, I know some of my favorites are The Office. They have a tremendous Christmas episode, their first episode, the first season, where they have a Christmas party.
Is that the one where they do the exchange and he gets it back?
Yankee
that's
swap.
Because so
he buys an iPad for Ryan. You know,
but doesn't he get it? Come on, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's...
Phyllis hand makes a mitt, an oven mitt, and he throws it at her in her face. This is a really fun episode. You know, a lot of great stuff. 30 Rock has a Luda Christmas episode written by Tammy Sager, which is really tremendous. All these are on Netflix. There's a really great episode of The West Wing called In Excelsis Deo that we watch every year that's really touching. Involves finding a homeless person. I don't know. It's a really moving episode. And as far as movies go, there's a great movie that's overlooked, and it's, I don't know where you can find it. We watch it on YouTube every year. It's called A Star in the Night. It's a 25-minute short film that retells from like 1944, 45, that retells the nativity story.
Really?
About a guy who, like, he's having a bad day and hates everything. He owns a hotel, and a pregnant woman comes in, and a guy, and it's kind of retelling of the nativity. Three guys
that's
come
amazing.
In. And,
yeah.
As the three kings. I would look for that. It's called A Star in the Night. It's really good. I think it won an Oscar, or it was up for an Academy Award back in the 40s. Definitely watch that, too, if you like that type of thing.
I draw a blank when it comes to Christmas-themed. I would think that every sitcom at different times, I would say, you know, the Christmas special, they probably just aired on, you know, on Saturday Night Live, where they do a whole Christmas-themed, all the Christmas sketches they've
done.
Yeah,
that's great.
That'll be huge. And out of that, it's not something I pay that close attention to, but I feel like every sitcom on TV has a Christmas episode. And they probably
do it all in November because they want to get out of town as quick as possible. Wait, was that their Christmas one? Does that mean it's reruns from here on out? Remember that was like the 80s and 90s when you had a sitcom, and whenever they did their Christmas episode, you knew they weren't going to be back on until January.
Yeah, they're out,
And it would be like October, and they're like, oh, it's the Christmas one where Tom Hanks comes over for family time. No, it's way too early.
Or even worse is when they air after, you know, they air like in January 15th. Yeah, their summer, you know, you see, you're sitting around in the summer and you see the Christmas tree run.
Do they still, you know, I don't watch, we're always on the air here 7 to 11 on 720 WGN, the download. Do they still, like, I'm trying to think what's even a sitcom on Thursday night or Wednesday night, whatever it is, the middle. Do they run reruns? Do they still do that where, like, they'll do, like, the fourth episode's a rerun and it was the one from before?
I think they still run it in the old days, a traditional calendar where they start in September and run till Christmas, and then the new season, the second half, comes out in January and they go till May. I was just thinking of another great Christmas episode that I always... There's two that I really like. They're old 70s sitcoms, and I mention them because it'll upset my wife because she hates when I want to watch them. One is All in the Family episode where Archie...
this is a Santa Claus one?
He doesn't play Santa Claus, but he has a little wind-up Santa Claus that, like, shoots water. But it's a really great episode. Archie invites one of his buddies over for Christmas because his buddy just lost his son in the war. And then Mike Stivic, Meathead, also invites a buddy over who was a draft dodger. The episode's called The Draft Dodger, and there's a big fight at the Christmas table.
All right.
Really touching. And Molly hates the episode. And then the second is a Happy Days episode called, like, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner or Fonzie's Coming to Dinner. It's an early season where... Fonzie is the Cunninghams invite Fonzie over for Christmas, but Fonzie's like, you know, I'm cool, man. I got things. I got to go with my family to Waukesha, and they're like, oh, okay. And then, like, the Cunninghams' car breaks down, so they like, oh, let's go see if Fonzie's around. And they look back, they go back to the garage, and Fonzie's eating a can of beans off a hot plate.
Yeah, right.
And he's so like, you know, Fonzie, he should be getting ready to go to Waukesha. What's he doing? Still eating the beans. It's a classic Christmas episode.
Well, my recommendation for holiday programming would be New Year's Eve, Janet Davies and Mark Giangreco. Simple as that. That's all I got for holiday programming. That's the must-watch local New Year's Eve. I know they do the new one, the Chi-Town Rising.
Yeah.
But I still, for my money, go to Davies, Giangreco, and the crew.
Nobody does it better there.
Nobody does the countdown better.
No Mario Lopez.
Lopez. You go back to Saved by the Bell. Janet Davies is our Mario Lopez. Our Slater, Mark Giangreco. Right? All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for the download, a special holiday edition of the download. We will be back. We're actually going to be back after New Year's with new episodes of the download. For Pete Zimmerman, I'm Justin Kaufman saying happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and continue listening to 720 WGN. Take care.
Winter's on its way again. Skies are turning gray again. Snow is on the ground, everywhere the sound of Christmas calling. Mistletoe around the door, presents scattered on the floor. You can see the joy for every girl and boy. It's Christmas calling. Carol singers call.